Welcome to the Seven Figure Leaders podcast. This podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners, and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. And there you'll find the link to apply. Welcome, and today we've got Damon from Turtle Enviro. Welcome, Damon.
Oh, yeah. How are you, Damon?
Pleasure to have you on as a guest on the podcast.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so before we press record, you were telling me that you've been in business for a long time, since you were a young man, and you've got your battle scars over the years. You founded your current business in around 2017, and you've built that tremendously quickly to the level it's at now. So perhaps you can give us a bit of a run through on the journey you've been on.
Yeah, I think the industry, knowing the industry that I've been in, as I said to you, Tom, as my old man, my father, who's passed away a long time ago, said to me, you know, in life, stick to your knitting, stick to what you know best. So I'm in the drainage industry, so we're effectively our business designs and manufactures drainage products, typically underground drainage and water treatment. I started in business in 1990 in the drainage industry. I left quite a high-flying job with Wavin, who were a market leader, and decided very naively at the time, I think, when I was 28-year-old, to set my own business up and see if I can earn a bit of money doing what I did best, which was fundamentally selling. And from there, I've had five or six businesses. Some have been good, some have been flops in terms of wrong people, wrong time, wrong industry, wrong funding, wrong people. And so essentially, I'm 64-year-old, long in the tooth, know me way around, should do. I've been in business since 1990. Know my way around finance, know my way around the commercial side of business, know a lot of people in the industry. And I think that pays dividends. And I think the secret for me is we started off this business actually in 2016. The secret for me in business is consistency, I think, is more than anything else. Comparatively, you know, you can have a great product and a poor service. You can have a great product and poor pricing. But effectively, if you've got a decent product, fit for purpose, with a decent price structure and good people who are technical and can give good service and support, then that's been our recipe for success. We're very consistent in terms of what we provide in terms of service. We're not by any means market leaders in our industry, but in some sectors we are fast becoming that. We started in 2016, as I said, not 2017. Effectively, it took 12 months to. I started off by selling one or two little products, just as a really for anybody that's sort of looking to go into semi-retirement. Don't get your wife to tell you just earn some pocket money, because at the end of the day, mine was earning pocket money from a dining table, in obviously in my old house, and it ended up sort of escalating to. Within the first year, we were turning over nearly £1 million, start to take on people, funded it through a factoring invoice discounting. And we've grown since then. We're now, as I said, I think if I haven't repeated myself, we're now at close to £6 million net. We're a profitable business. We're very proud of that. Everything that we manufacture is manufactured in the UK. Everything that we source is sourced in the UK. That's a fact or facts I'm very proud of. The industry recognises us as being sort of a very consistent business, that they know that's what they're going to get, what they say is what they get. We our lead times and our products are very good. In terms of where I'm at in business, I think, as I said, the key for me is have a decent product, be able to sell that product at the right price and obviously profitable, but give a consistent service and get, you know, you don't always, peaks and troughs in lots of businesses, what I've been in the past, where we've Some months we provide a fantastic service, other months it's been very poor, and that's been due to stuff going out the door, workforce, technique. We outsource our manufacturing, so we have three main manufacturers in the UK, and it's took a long time to get them up to speed. One in particular who does a lot of our work is really, really good. Worth a shout, it's a company called Crompton's. Crompton Mouldings, they mould for us, so, you know, I'll just name drop a little bit. Good business in terms of understanding us. So we call ourselves partners. When we partner with a supplier, supply chains, again, for anybody who's setting up a business or is in the early stages of a business, you have to recognize that supply chain, your suppliers, supply partners, and supply chain is hugely important to any business. And a lot of that's to do, when I call partnerships, it's about loyalty. It's about being with people when they're in a poor position and helping them to get out of that position. And that works both ways. And sticking with people is very much like the marriage partnership. And that works for us. I'll give you an example of that for me. The turning point of the business is during COVID. The key thing for me wasn't making sure that we were still open. The key thing for me was making sure that we had a supply chain which was robust enough. Once COVID, or we didn't know where it was going, once COVID had elapsed or once we were coming through it, that we had strong supply chains that could actually supply the product rather than give us a fantastic price and not be able to supply. So we had to make some big changes. We had to pay a lot of money for some products, more than we had been paying. But that bore very well. We're still with those partners 5 years later, got strong relationships. I think they respect what we did at the time. And I think some of the partners we moved away from at that time respected as well, because they knew they couldn't give us what we needed. So I think for any young business people, any small businesses, your supply chain is hugely important. As important as your people, actually. They are part of your extended family and you need to treat them like that, and treat them with respect. There's a lot of people full of gusto and smoke and shout at people and dictate and dominate. But, we treat people with respect. We treat people the way we like to be treated ourselves. So I'm doing a lot of talking here. I'm thinking, Tom, so, you know.
Yeah, well, that's a good intro. So what I'm interested in learning is, so what is kind of the problem that you're solving with your products? What are your products and what type of people are your clients?
Yeah, our products are drainage products. So we literally, our main products are manholes, for better word, people will understand that in the audience, probably in the captive audience. The manholes, inspection chambers, and we do things like flow control, et cetera, for water, for, and we have a range of products for sites, housing, where we stop and prevent silt getting through the road gullies and manholes on site. The thing is with drainage, Tom, people take it for granted. It's out of sight, out of mind. You yourself, you probably don't even understand what's underneath your house and what's going into the drain and why it goes into the drain, where it goes. But it's a hugely important part of the construction industry. And that's what we manufacture. My background's that, so I design the products. I have a team of people now who are actually working with SolidWorks and CAD, and we do FEA work, finite element analysis on the structures of the products. So we've advanced from, like I say, from our front room to where we are. The industry we're in is construction. We supply through, a media, which is builders merchants and specialist distributors. Builders merchants being the likes of Travis Perkins, Stark, who were Dewson's previously, Hughes Gray, and a lot of independents who do really well for us in the UK and in Ireland. We're not international, but our audience, and I have a big saying in my business is, control the end user, control the market. Our end user is our contractors and ground workers, civil companies. So we need to be in dialogue with them directly. and really the merchant just does the transaction. The reason we've gone with a merchant policy, to be blunt, is financial. No disrespect to any contractors, but we've hung our hats on distribution through the likes of Travis Perkins, etc., who are stalwarts of the industry, who are multi-million, billion-pound businesses, and, you know, albeit they might take a little bit of time to pay, we always get paid. So, you know, that's a key thing for business as well. So you really, the construction industry now, we are becoming more well-known. We get a lot of specification now on our products, which is good, from leaders like Arup and WSP and Fairhurst and leading consultant engineers across the UK and in Ireland. So we've worked hard at that. We do a lot of CPDs. We do a lot of training with our distributors. I had a good bedding with the company I worked for to start with. I spent 7 or 8 years with a company called Warven, and that was a long time ago, it was in the 80s, but I had a fantastic grounding with those people, and I'll always be thankful of that. I'm waffling, but there you go.
So your clients are the distributors or the wholesalers, is that
our
right?
Clients, our direct clients are the distributors, yeah, so billers, merchants, and what happens is we'll get into dialogue with the contractor, do whatever we've got to do, tell him what he needs, do a design takeoff. So we have four people, and all they do is just take off some drawings. So they will take off the necessary requirement for that particular contractor from a drawing. We don't charge for that. So that's just part of our service. I think we're pretty unique in that respect. And we then go back to the merchants here. Here's the quote, here's the price, and this is the margin. Some merchants will have stock, so they might supply out of stock, but most of our work is direct to site, if you understand that. It's basically, we would just ship straight from our factory to the contractor on site, and the middleman would take a cut from that, i.e. the merchant would take a cut from that. And that's probably 85% of our business, Tom.
I see. So you know before you've even made the product what you're going to make from it.
Yeah, we're pretty tight with stuff like that. As I said before, I've got a good FD and I know my way around numbers, and, you know, profit is sanity, turnover vanity is the old saying. So I've pretty much learned. I've had a lot of businesses that I've turned over a lot. I've been a bit like Genghis Khan from a sales point of view and just smashed through every village in Outer Mongolia and wherever I could, and then look back and it was an absolute mess, and which had to be tidied up. But I've learned from that, you know, with age comes experience, and that's a very profound. So, you know, it is what it is.
So you, from a cash flow perspective, what does all of that look like? Obviously, one of the biggest killers of small businesses is cash flow.
Without a doubt, I've been there with where I've been struggling to pay the wages at the end of the month. Factoring is great, but it can be a nemesis for a lot of people, because you can see you're chasing sales all the time, and you're chasing sales, and sometimes you'll give away a margin to get the cash through the door. It's not a great, it's great for setting up a business. Most businesses will need it, some kind of factoring or invoice discounting. Funding wise,
in place. Do you still have that facility in place?
No, we haven't had a. We started factoring, and then we went invoice discounting quite quickly. Rapidly, we came out of that, and now we've got cash in the bank, and everything's self-funding. We've got a good balance sheet, a lot of assets. And effectively, you know, the business is profitable, and that's what it's all about. We do give a little bit of money, not a huge amount, I've got to say, but we do give a little bit of money to charity now, and that's getting more and more, because it's important to give back a little bit, and that's my belief. You know, I've certainly had that when I was on the bones of my backside. People supported me, and I'll never forget that. You've got to give back a little bit. But finance wise, you're right, Tom. I think having the right factoring company or the right invoice discounting company is important. There's a lot of those people out there now, a lot of independents, I believe. Personally, we went with NatWest at the time. To be fair, they weren't the greatest. And then we ended up switching to Santander, which was unusual. And we came out of that very quickly. The importance of factoring for small businesses is huge. But what I would say, if I can give any advice, is make sure you don't buy it in cheap. You know, sometimes you have to pay a little bit more for a great service. And there is a lot of people out there going in it, particularly on confidential invoice discounting deals without insurance, et cetera, et cetera. You've just got to be so careful. Insurance is hugely important. We insure with a company called Atradius, and they give us credit finance. So when I say credit finance, they give us the credit limits, which we either work to, and they'll insure on those credit limits. If we decide to trade above those credit limits, then essentially that's our risk. And as yet, touch wood, it's been gone swimmingly well, because we know who to deal with and who not to deal with.
Good. So you talked before we pressed record, you talked about you being a very good salesperson. Now, you've grown the business from 0 to 6 million revenue annually in what, almost 10 years? What?
No, in 8 years.
8 years. Almost 10 years. What is the, what is behind that? What is you? Are you the salesperson? Have you got a team of salespeople?
I think fundamentally, I'm. How do I put it? I built a team around me. But if anybody who knows me would know that I'm still very much the patriarch of the business, and still very, I'm not involved as much as I was, because it takes over nicely now. Our systems, we've just spent a lot of money on Salesforce, for instance, for our CRM, I've actually got one guy now fully employed, and all he's doing is working with that, with a quote system. So we produce, something like 1,000 quotes a week. So that's phenomenal.
That's 1,000 quotes for 1,000 different clients.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So it's a high volume business.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're putting out, when I say different clients, this clients will be different from a contractual point of view, but they'll probably be them. We would get a lot of inquiries from Travis Perkins, K-Line, Hughes. So, the end user tends to be very different. Some weeks it's 700 or 800, but in the main it's about 1,000. So we've got 4 or 5 people pushing quotes out every day. The average quote is 30 to 40 quotes a day. The system we need needs to be, we're working on that. So we're trying to get the system so that it's not just about pressing buttons. It's really getting the system to work for us. So it's grabbing information. So it's where, when was the last time Joe Bloggs builders bought from us? What did they buy? What's the trend? So we're looking at trends now. We've literally got analysis coming out of our ears. I've got a guy employed who's a genius in terms of analysis. He's actually remote. He's in Aberdeen. He's in Shetland. And he just does all of our analysis. He analyzes everything. And we get that information as to if somebody drops off by 0.25% in the week, we know that. And so that's massive for any business, is to keep on top of the information and understand your client and understand your customer. And, more so, I have a great saying, which you'll know, it's a Japanese saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And I think that's what you've got to know, what your competition's doing all of the time. It's important. People say, oh, no, you just get on with what you've got to do. Don't worry about other people. Well, you have to keep one eye on what somebody else is doing.
And so what's next? What are the goals, the future plans?
Our next, the business has grown. Last year, we went from 3.97 million, 3.97, and we've grown 5.7, just over 5.7 in effectively 12 months, which is a 40-odd% growth. The year before was 23% growth. I don't know, but the industry raised politically in the industry, it's very calm at the moment. I wouldn't say it was turbulent. I think a lot of people waiting to see what happens, where the government go. Certainly the house builders, which is a big part of our business, that segment of the business now is probably a quarter of our business, where once it was probably only 10%, and that's growing. We're right in with the house builders. We've got a couple of products that are specified nationally by some big players like Barratt, David Wilson, Redrow, Persimmon, Miller's, Bellway, Wimpy. So we are specified by those people with a couple of products, which is testimony to the hard work of the team. And it's about putting what we believe in. And I wrote a thing for one of our distributors called Civil Store, and the key thing in that for me was that you listen to your customer. A lot of people put out the product that they think is going to sell, but if you develop a product in line with your customer, you invite the customer in, you brainstorm, what are you looking for, how many can you buy, how long have we got to develop this, et cetera, et cetera. And we've done that. We did that successfully with Barratt David Wilson on a product. So we developed this key product with them, and it took 6 to 9 months to get to market because we had to do a lot of testing and work with them. But boy, oh boy, has it paid off. And we've done that since. We've done that quite a bit with people. We've developed products with other SMEs. We tend to do a lot with SMEs. We've developed ranges for other people. So yeah, to answer your question, I think I'd like to think we can get somewhere close to by 2027. I'd like to think we'll get somewhere close to 10 million. But again, I've got a good team, but finding good people is difficult. One of the things that I'd like to find is somebody to replace me, but
yeah,
that's difficult.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
Especially when you built it and it's your baby. Perfect. Well, thank you very much for coming on as a guest. So anyone who wants to get in touch with you, whether it's interest in your business or if they think that there might be some kind of partnership opportunity with you, we'll make it very easy for them to contact you. We'll put your LinkedIn, a link to your LinkedIn profile in the show notes. Anything else you want to share before we end the session?
No. Just like to say that thanks for the opportunity to air my business and what we're doing, and it's been enjoyable. So thank you very much, Tom, and good luck. I don't know if you're an apology to the company that you thought you were going to be speaking to, but
no, all good.
all your notes must have been about them then. So there you go. So you've done well.
All right, David. Thanks very much. Right,
thank you very much. Take care. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for listening. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. On that page, you'll find the link to apply.